Okay. So welcome everyone. We're gonna get started and hopefully more people will come in live. Okay, so we're gonna be looking at creating accountability today. Before we do, I wanted to just speak to a couple of housekeeping pieces. So a number of you have gotten in touch about certification. Some of you have gotten in touch being very excited about all of the certification materials. And then some of you have gotten in touch saying, oh my gosh, I feel like I'm running out of time. You know, am I gonna be able to get everything done? And so I am here to tell you that yes, if you would like to go for certification, even if you have not been paying attention to the requirements until now, you can get it done. And me and my team are here to help you and support you in any way we can. So, officially, the date to hand in your materials is, actually didn't even come with the official date, but I believe it's January 1st, the beginning of January, right? So that's the official date, which is still 4 months from now. In 4 months, you can get your coaching partner hours done. You can do volunteer coaching. You know, you'd want to plan it out and blueprint it out so that you know, right? But it is doable. But here is the thing. I don't usually like say this too much at the beginning, but I'm going to say it now. We will not turn you away from certification if you need an extension. We are not going to charge you more if you need an extension, okay? So my recommendation is try to get it done by January 1. Be in the container. We're talking about accountability. Hold yourself accountable. But if you need extra time, if something has come up in your life, whatever it is, that's okay. Go for it. And if you need a little cheerleading or moral support around it, get in touch. I will help you with that. Again, I want to do whatever I can to support you to get certified if that is something that you want. So let me just pause there for a moment. Any questions right now around certification? Anything that you're not clear on or that you need help on that I can help answer? No. Okay. Yeah, Julia.
Yes. Hi. I'm not sure if you answered this, but I read somewhere that you put the names of those who are certified on your website. So how does that work? How does that work?
Yeah. Yeah. So one of our gifts to you is that once you pass certification, we want to help promote you. We want more eyes on you and on your work and on your website. And so what we do is we have a special page where you'll submit your photo. We ask for a short description of you and the work that you do. Your website, where to find you online. And all of that goes on the page. And then sporadically, although it's funny that you're asking now because we were just talking on the team that we want to do this a little bit more often, sporadically, we'll send an email out. Like, so my entire email community will get an email directing people to the page and say, you know, and to those coaches. And the other thing that we haven't started that I've been wanting to do forever, which I think we will start, is as you get certified, if you like, we'll also promote you on social media. We'll do a social media post with you, and your photo and your work and all of that. So we want to do whatever we can to support your visibility.
Oh, that's amazing. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. You know, the other piece, oh, Cynthia's smiley face. I thought you were raising your hand. The other piece that I just want to mention, because sometimes this can come up, is, you know, one of the certification requirements is to submit a recording. I think that I've shared this a couple of times. I want to share it again. I am not going to listen to the recording. So sometimes that makes people feel better. It's Joanna. I'm not going to listen to it. It's somebody else on the team, Inval on the team, listens. There are very particular things that she's listening for. This is all listed in your member center, by the way, but there are particular things that she's listening for that we're scoring on. Sometimes we'll receive a recording and we feel, because we have high standards and we have high standards for you, because we know you have high standards for yourself, sometimes it is not uncommon that we'll say, you know, can you go back and do another one? But we'll give you specific things that we're looking for to shift. Whether it's about questions or strategizing, or you forgot to ask the client about takeaways at the end, or, you know, whatever it is. So we'll give you detailed notes, also notes on what you did really well too. So if that happens, and right now we don't charge for that, that may change in the future, right? So like if you don't get your materials in for a year, that may not be the case. But right now, if we ask you to resubmit, we don't charge for that again. We just ask you to resubmit and you can do that in your own timing. But don't be insulted. Don't let your inner not good enough one get activated. If it happens, it is not abnormal for that to come up. And usually it's not big things, it's just little things that we want you to tweak. And you get that extra feedback from us, which is priceless, I think. Kim.
I'm pretty sure that I read that the recording needs to be 30 minutes, so that within that 30 minutes, we need to accomplish all that is there. Is that right? Yeah.
If you had a longer session, let's say a 45 minute session, you can give us a 30 minute slice of it and just let us know, you know, it could be the first or the last part or whatever, and say, I'm not including the end. I asked this client about takeaways, blah, bitty, blah, blah, blah. Or, you know, what you're listening to doesn't have the full strategizing, the client walked away with XYZ. And again, you'll see in the member center what we're looking for. So if that gets cut off, you can just share it. Awesome. When you submit it.
That's great.
Yeah, question. All right, any other cues on certification? All right, and as you have them, just please ask. And like I said, if you need moral support, I'm here for that as well. Couple other housekeeping pieces. We have two bonus calls coming up that I'm really, really excited about. One I've already let you know about, and one I haven't let you know about because we haven't pinned down the date yet. We're going to have at the end of this month a bonus call with Stanley on gender inclusion. I know that's an area where I've learned a bit on, but I have so much more to learn on. I'm really excited that Stanley is going to share his experience and his wisdom and his expertise with us. If there are particular questions that you have that you want him to address, I mean, I think we'll do Q&A on the call, so you can ask on the call, but also let us know beforehand if you happen to think of it, because he may, you know, prepare something bigger in that case. So we've got that call with Stanley. And then Nima, who is also in our circle, is going to do sometime in October, and I'll let you know as soon as I know. She's going to do a bonus call for us on microaggressions. Again, another topic I've been learning on for years and years, but one that I can certainly need to continue to learn on. This has so much to do with our filters, not checking filters, ways that we unintentionally might harm others without realizing through comments that we make. And so Nima is going to bring us a bit deeper into that. And also, as practitioners, starting to become more aware, you know, maybe you're already leading groups or planning on leading groups. You know, sometimes we're not the ones doing the microaggressions, but to notice if that's happening in groups as well, online groups, Facebook groups, et cetera. That call with Nima is not going to be recorded. So if you want to catch that information, that's one to show up live for. And again, as soon as I have that date, I'll let you know. We'll send out an email about it. Elijah.
Thank you. This is awesome, by the way. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for everything. I have a question. You've been doing these bonus like business training calls.
Yeah, not so much business training. They've been like Q&As with a little bit of business inspiration. You've got a bunch of recorded business trainings in the member center.
Oh, so what my question was, were those calls recorded? And if so, where are the recordings? But maybe they weren't recorded.
If you go into the member center,
mm-hmm.
I can't remember what they're under. I think they're under Q&A calls or bonus Q&A calls.
All right.
So we've been recording them and they're listed there. We had a problem with one of the recent ones, but they should all be listed there.
All right. I will try and find them. Thank you.
Yeah. And I'll also post in the Facebook group. I'll go after this call and look for exactly what's listed.
I'm seeing something. Bonus Q&A call. Yeah. I'm finding it. Didn't know what to look for, I think. So thank you. Very helpful.
You're welcome. Okay, last quick housekeeping piece. A number of, we have like, I don't know, 7 weeks left. We've been on a long journey together. Oh my gosh, so much has changed for us personally, in the world, all of that. We still have a lot of content, and time-wise, we're also in the home stretch. A number of you have been getting in touch to ask about what's next. How can we continue to work together? How can you continue to learn more and get coached? And I promise that is coming very soon. I've got opportunities for those of you that want to continue. And so we'll talk about that in one of our upcoming soon. We'll talk about it. Okay. Before we look at creating accountability, what's been resonating for you from our last two sessions, from Myth of Perfection and getting off the wheel of self-sabotage? What's been with you? I'd love to hear in the chat. I'd love to hear one or two of you, your voices. What have you been seeing? What have you been noticing? What have you been carrying either for yourself or in your client work or with your clients? Julia.
Yeah. So for myself, what I found was that it was so important to realize the complete journey of sabotage. So before that, I was aware that, you know, this is when you procrastinate or this or that or the other. But because I hadn't followed through on that complete wheel, it didn't matter that I was aware of what was happening. I'd still fall into the cycles. But because of the work that we did together, I went into this place where I was like, yeah, I'm looking at all the work I'm doing and I'm still do. But when I thought about, okay, if we continue on this trajectory, how are you going to feel and how is that going to play out? And immediately I was like, I'm not interested in that. We're just going to keep working. And I was able to like just disrupt it at that moment because I had that mental follow through, which was not there before. Before it would just be, you know, you're just stuck in your feelings, but you're not really thinking about, if we keep going down this road, yeah, it's going to be 3-5 days of us doing nothing. So is that how you want to feel? Like I was able to kind of like foresee and be like, yeah, scrap that. Like, let's keep going. And I don't care how long it takes. We're still working on it. And I found that to be so powerful for myself. Really grateful for that. And even just listening to what everyone had to share last week, I felt like it was on a different level. It was just so powerful.
So happy to hear it. I'm so excited. I can just see in your energy and in your smile how wonderful and empowering it's been for you. And I'm so happy to hear it. Yay. Beautiful. Elijah.
Oh, I forgot I raised my hand. It's not as profound as that. That was beautiful, Julia. Thank you. I just want to say, like, what I'm noticing is I get to use all these tools with my clients and they make such a difference. And the befriend your fear, especially, is something that I love to play with and use different. It doesn't have to be fear. You know, it could be desire, actually. It's just, I've been playing with that around a lot of different things. And it's just awesome work that just creates transformation and awareness for my clients. So it's been incredible. I mean, and I still feel like there's so much information in this certification course that I actually haven't digested yet. So I know there's more coming, but it's lovely.
I think that is profound and I'm so excited to hear it. And I'm so excited for your clients too. Yay. Yeah, and there is so much information here and nobody is gonna use all of it right away. Right? It's like you take it in and for sure. Raka saying in the chat, I couldn't identify the exact trigger, thoughts, beliefs, but I committed to change my sabotage behavior and kept it all week. That's huge. That's huge. I'm so happy to hear it. Good, good, good. All right. Good. Linda.
Yes, for me, I
Oh, your sound is a little weird.
Okay, hold on. Is it better now or no?
No.
Oh, we'll go to plan B.
No, there you go. You fixed okay. It.
So thanks for letting me know. Yeah, so I for me, I've just been noticing at every moment that it just keeps coming up. And so I'm just still in that stage of noticing. And I did take some separate actions when I wasn't going to move forward on something. And like, for example, I just have a small thing to do for my taxes. And so I've been struggling. I have to put together a balance sheet. So long story short is, I said, okay, this is out of my wheelhouse. Let me find somebody to help me with this. And so I did ask somebody, but they weren't available. Then I asked another person, they weren't available. And then I got stalled. So, but anyway, the idea is I just said, okay, enough. This is not my wheelhouse. Let's go. I want to get this done and off my mind. So, but these are things that I really, you know, it's it. And I'm sorry, Joanne, I can't remember the exact question. I have to listen to that recording at least 10 times, but I'm at least thinking about what action can I take. That's kind of where my mindset is.
Yeah, I think that's a huge win. And that's more than just noticing, Linda. Like you're noticing and you're still in that. But what I'm hearing is you've started to puncture the wheel a little bit by taking action, even if that means outsourcing on the task, right? There's something about the noticing and the being with it that has actually empowered you to say, you know what, this isn't in my wheelhouse, but I want to get this done, right? And you've taken, so I'm sorry that the two people weren't available. Don't let that stop you. Use our class today to recommit, take the next action. But that's progress right there.
Okay, thank you. I mean, I was taking action, and yeah, so thanks for listening. And I can't wait to, I for me, this is of everything. This is the one that is the huge one for me. Yeah, that's going to make a huge, like a serious breakthrough. So it's something I have to kind of stay all over.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Like, stick with it. Continue to notice. Write down your next action, right? Your next action. And then continue to take the action, continue to notice, and then write down your next baby step action, right? Sometimes that's more than sometimes that's what it takes. And that's okay. That's more than okay.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. I love this because we're getting a full range of examples of how this works in real life, right? And one is not better than the other. This is like human nature and different humans in different moments of time in their lives, right? But the idea is to continue to stick with it, to do the work. Okay, so that's all great segue actually into looking at accountability. So today we're gonna look at creating accountability, specific tools and techniques and structures that we can use to support our clients in being more accountable to what they want to create. Today's class is the least sexy class of all our classes. I just wanna say that up front. Accountability is not sexy. However, it is very important. So in our class today, we're gonna be looking at a number of new pieces, new skills, new techniques, but we're also gonna be reviewing, because we've actually looked at a lot of accountability tools already in this program, just not in that context. So we're gonna go back and look at them in that context. Lisa finds accountability very sexy. Can we make it sexy? Solway is saying. I don't know. Well, let's see. Well, I'll ask about that throughout the call or at the end. We'll see what we come up with. So what is accountability? We all know, I'm just gonna say, accountability is taking action on or following through on the inner and outer actions that your clients have committed to. And usually those actions are committed to or thought of or created after a breakthrough or a new awareness of some sort. All of that sounds easy enough, right? Well, sometimes, so here's what I want to say first. Sometimes, actually a lot of the time, it is easy. Especially if you've set up for accountability ahead of time. And we're going to talk about that in a few minutes. But, you know, we tend to focus on the things that we're not accountable on. We're going to get there. But I do just want to point out, like, there's a lot of things that we or our clients say we're going to do, and then we do them, right? Most of the time, if I'm working with a client and they come up with a newsletter article, they write the newsletter article, rearrange their office. Now, again, different people have different blocks, right? But they go and they rearrange their office, have a hard conversation with their sister, with their colleague. It happens. Buy a website domain. Put a profile up on a dating website, right? So again, for some of these people, not as easy, but there are plenty of things that we do follow up on. That being said, we also all know that being accountable to our commitments can sometimes not be as easy as it sounds. And not just because of fears and thought limiting thought patterns, which we've been looking at, but also because oftentimes the commitments that get articulated through a coaching session requires that your client do something differently than they've done it before. To do something differently, or to start doing something, which is doing it differently. And doing something different requires effort, because human beings are generally creatures of habit. So we want these accountability structures in there. I love what Lisa's saying in the chat. Accountability is where the rubber meets the road. And that's where real and lasting transformation actually happens. And that is sexy. Okay, so we're already starting to make it sexy. So what is the practitioner's role in client accountability? Let's take a moment and look at that. What I have come to see over the years is that in our highest and best, our responsibility is to support our client in not only being accountable, but also learning how to become accountable. Because for many people, it's a process. Accountability is a process of becoming, of really learning and building that skill and that muscle. But that being said, I want to say this, and this may be the most important thing that I say today. It's a very not sexy thing. As practitioners, we cannot make any client do anything. Period. End of story. Doesn't matter how masterful you are. It doesn't matter how magical you are. Your client needs to want it, and to want it at least as much as you do. That doesn't mean they don't have fears to work out, right? Like we are learning how to do that, but they need to want it. We can't be pulling them along. And I share this with potential clients as early as in a sales call. Like I say that flat out. And just so you know, in case you've had some clients that were not accountable and you judge yourself for that, I just want you to know I have had a couple of clients over the years who were not accountable. We looked at every fear, every shadow, limiting belief, every habit, like everything. But in their hearts, they didn't really want it. Now, the work that we did together was still by and large in their eyes valuable and successful. They didn't achieve the goal they came in for, but they transformed through the work. They came to understand and know themselves so much better than before. They came to be more accepting of their parts, et cetera. I've also had a fair share of clients who have been accountable or become accountable, taken action, made beautiful progress, but slower than expected. For some of them, it's because some of their stuff had been ingrained since childhood. For some of them, it's because a major event happened in their life through our work together. For some of them, it's just because that was the pace that was right for them, but we didn't know that going in. And then we figured that out together. Going slower is not anywhere near a failure at all. It is called how real change happens for many people. Right, so remember back to what I was sharing last week and throughout this program about transformation. We want to consistently do the inner work. We want to create the breakthroughs. We want to come back even to the things that we've looked at before I still come back to the same things, right? We want to work on them enough for an opening, like a spaciousness for us to make a different decision, take a different action. Client takes maybe just a baby step action, sometimes a whole lot, right? But maybe it's just one. And then we come back and we create the next amount of spaciousness. We do the inner work. And then maybe it's two baby steps. Maybe not. Maybe it's just one, right? Or maybe it's a time, right? And that's how it goes. And this is where accountability becomes two actions, becomes important. So first of all, just in case you're under the myth of perfection, you think you're some godlike figure as a practitioner, let's just like throw that away right now, right? You can't make anybody do anything. It won't serve. Of course, we want to use all of our tools to co-create accountability with clients. We want to leave no stone unturned. We want to be masterful, you know, support clients in ways that are optimal for them. But it ultimately, at the end of the day, is not up to us. It's just not. I may have shared already here before the metaphor of the river. You know, what I like to say, and sometimes I'll say this even on enrollment conversations, is I can tell you about the river. I can tell you the name of the river. I can tell you where the river is. I can support you and give you directions to the river and hold your hand as you walk through the river, as you walk to the river. And I can even hold your hand across the river. But what I cannot do is carry you on my shoulders across that river. That's not anyone's job. Yeah, and Sonia's saying in the chat, I feel like we shouldn't even want to make anyone do anything. Yes, we're going to get there in a second because that can be a thing. We should hold the space for them to figure out what they want to do. Oh, good. And this is sexy. Okay, we're on a roll. So what Sonia is sharing is a great segue into what I want us to take a look at for a little bit next, which are some energetic and mindset pieces for us as practitioners that will support us in making our accountability skills more effective. And then we'll get to the skills themselves. First thing, don't make your client's results or action taking about you. Don't make it about you or a reflection on you or how awesome you are because they've taken action, or how awesome you're not because they haven't. Don't make it about you and don't make it for you. Some parents do one or both of those things with their children. My child's accomplishments or lack of accomplishments are a reflection on me. Or they may say to their children, just be nice or just dress that way for me, for the family, so we look good, or, you know, because it will make me happy. Or I just love it. I would love it, if, right? Whatever it is. Take that nose ring out, or right? Whatever it is. Study more. If you are working with a client who has had some kind of, or from a teacher or a grandparent or whatever, had some kind of experience along those lines, and you bring some of that energy in, which can happen if you're not checking yourself, your client will feel this a mile away. They'll smell it a mile away. And if they have had this experience in other places in their life, it can actually trigger the client unknowingly to rebel vehemently and not take the action. So they feel that, you know, they're it's almost like in these other contexts, they didn't get to rebel and take their power, right? And so this is a way of doing that. Or they may take the action, but they take it from a misaligned place, not for themselves, right? Taking actions for someone else. So we wanna be really clear and aware of the energy that we're holding, you know, when we're holding accountability, where that's coming from. It's so important. And then the kind of side note in all of that, because of experiences like these, some clients can end up feeling shame when others hold them accountable, particularly if the energy is not clean. And that's because at some point they experienced a power over accountability structure. They experienced a power over accountability structure, or a punitive accountability structure, one that like came with a penalty. I really believe that as practitioners, our job is not only to help hold our clients accountable, but to help them shift their internal accountability structures from power over to power with together. Part of what can happen for people is that they then internalize it, right? It's not the outside father that they're rebelling against or that's shaming them or, you know, whatever it is. It becomes an internal thing. So we want to be conscious and aware when we're holding space for accountability of how we are doing that, the words that we're using, and also the energy. Always comes back to energetics, the energy that we're holding the accountability with. There's more than one optimal energy to hold an accountability structure with. And that's gonna depend on the type of energy, the type of archetypal energy, we can say, that your client may need at any given moment. So sometimes I hold accountability in like what I would call the mother archetype. Sometimes I hold accountability in, for me, what I would call the father archetype. Sometimes I would hold accountability in a fierce warrior archetypal energy, fierce but loving warrior archetypal energy. Right? Different moments may call for different things. We want to also be conscious of our filters when it comes to accountability. If you are typically a get it done person, you may have certain filters about deciding on something and taking action and making that happen quickly, or, you know, making sure that you do it. Your client may not be that person, or vice versa. You might not be a get it done person, but your client is, right? So we wanna check our filters for that. We also want to listen deeply, because sometimes an outer action may not be executed like that week or, you know, since the last session, but is an inner shift happening that's moving the client closer to taking the outer action? Or maybe the task was done in a different way, like in Linda's example. We want to celebrate all of those micro movements. That helps with accountability too. And then of course, remember back to our strategizing module, different paces, consistent doers, deep thinkers and processors, tipping pointers, sprinters, right? All right, let me pause here because that was a lot in a short period of time. What's feeling important? What are you seeing? What do you want to add or ask him?
Well, as you were just saying that last thing about listening deeply, sometimes I want them to feel so encouraged that I will tell them they're making progress when they actually aren't. I will over help, encourage them. I think it's really my trying to help them see hope and possibility, but I think I often don't want to point out what's not working. Don't want to help them talk. I want them to see, oh, I can still do this. And maybe I'm not describing that well, but I'm
not
this, that, yeah. That my is, oh, you're going to be okay. Don't worry about it. You know?
Yeah. So tell me if I'm getting this right, but it sounds like maybe you have a belief rolling around in there that both can't be held at the same time. Both the, like, this is what's progressing or shifting, even if it's a micro movement, and this is what still wants to be worked on.
Well, what I want to be curious about is, am I pretending there's a micro movement when there might not be? And then I'm not actually looking at the problem because I so want them to achieve something. So I'll just tell them they did kind of, but it's not like, I'm not giving them a chance to not be moving.
So what would be a good shift there for you as a practitioner?
Well, I think it's about holding the lack of movement and being able to be uncomfortable and helping them to hold that discomfort of the responsibility that's theirs. And again, it might be actually tied to my desire to maybe take credit for their progress, as opposed to, distancing myself from that, disconnecting.
Yeah, beautiful. So I think there's a couple of really important pieces in there that, so your own not needing to reflect on you or be about you, and then the being able and willing to sit with the discomfort, so, so big. And then I'll ask this question for you and everybody to think about, because celebrating is also important, right? So if we can't celebrate a micro movement, what else can we celebrate or acknowledge a client for?
Well, sometimes it's just being able to take the time that's needed to see, is this really what I want? Is this really what I am committed to? And if it's not, maybe that lack of movement is that they need to rethink what their commitment is to.
Yeah.
That happens super quickly, but eventually at some point it feels like that's a possibility too. And just being aware and honest is something to celebrate.
Yeah, 100%. All of those things. Or still showing up, sticking with the process, being committed to themselves, no matter what happened, right? So yes. And Solway is saying in the chat and asking them to acknowledge themselves or what they want to acknowledge themselves for. Good. Such a great question. Thanks, Kim.
Thanks.
Solway.
Thanks so much for that, Kim. That actually brought up something else that I just want to add or just ask as well. And I hope that, I don't know if you're going to talk about this, Joanna, but I was going to talk about something else, but I want to say this, that I hope we'll talk a little bit more about the ways that we gently call people in to, I don't know if we'll talk about that, but I hope that we do, because I think that I also tend towards what Kim's saying. And so I was really relating to that and thinking like, yes, and I think I have some methods for this, but I'd love to know more of like, how do we hold the space of yes, you have this micro movement, and let's say, what do you want to acknowledge in yourself? And also, you know, calling someone in a bit on what it is that they said that they were going to do. I hope we talk about that. And also, I just wanted to say how challenging I think this comment that you made towards the beginning about don't make your clients results a reflection on you. I think that's so easy to say. And then also, I just want to comment that as a coach, it's so challenging to not feel, even if you feel like you want to give them lots of flexibility and you want them to be supported and all of those things, I just think that's a really, for us as coaches, it's really a challenging. So I just wanted to echo that with you because I'm feeling it with you.
100%. And just in case this didn't come across, like, this is something I work on consistently. Like, I am on no pedestal on this whatsoever, right? It is an awareness and an internal work through. For sure. So I'm glad you're highlighting that.
Yeah. I'm so glad you voiced it too, because I think it is one of, when we think about our energetics, like the thing that we continue to return to over and over again throughout our coaching career.
Completely. And I can think of a couple of moments where I've changed course, like literally mid-sentence with a client, because I've realized that that's what I was doing. You know, so it's like, and so I'm sharing that too, again, like, no myth of perfection. And also, like, if you have a strong container, you can correct energetics, right? Like, mid-sentence or afterwards too, like, hey, you know, I'm always looking at myself and I realize that, you know, and you want to think about wording or language, right? But like, I don't love how I held that topic in our session, you know, and again, depending on the situation, whatever the words go with it. So yeah, I mean, there's so much to it, and it is a constant working on.
Totally. And in the world of us feeling on some level like we need to demonstrate our results for marketing, I also think that's a very interesting tension to continue to hold, right? Like, how do you say, yes, my clients get results, but also their results vary, you know, all of that is challenging.
Yeah, for sure. And it is also, it's important. Like, I think language is important, you know, the difference between you will absolutely experience versus here's what's possible.
Yes. Yes.
Right? Well, here's a range of what's possible.
Yeah. Thank you.
And here's what's required for, like, to, right, like, to achieve that. I mean, we'll go off on the market. There's so much to say on this, right? But also to be honest about what's required
for results. Absolutely. And just to say, add to what you were saying, or to like echo what you were saying earlier, I also think that is a really valuable conversation and a discovery call. Like you were saying, this is a partnership.
Yes, 100%. Yeah. And then to answer your first question, so part of it relates, and Sonia asked this in the chat about the energy archetype. So part of it is energetic and part of it is words, right? So part of it is about the archetype. So sometimes it's about, let me just explain a little bit more about the archetypes just for everybody, in case that wasn't clear. Sometimes it's about sussing out what's the energy that would be optimal for my client to be in, like this container that would really support them and their accountability and their self-love, and right. And so again, like for me, we all define this differently, but for me, sometimes archetypical mother is how I'm going to hold, where it's like nurturing. I don't want to say more forgiving, because it's always forgive. That's not even a good word, but like, softer, maybe a little bit, maybe a little bit more on the celebrations and like finding the things with a little bit of like, and okay now, right? And then other times, if I think it's more optimal for a client and good, you know, look good for them and supportive, it's going to be in that warrior energy, like, okay, first let's celebrate this and this, but now let's have an honest conversation. And I'll give some more language in different ways. in a little bit, but now let's have an honest conversation. Like what's going on right now for some clients. You don't want to say like what's going on, but that's going to trigger the shame, right? So it's going to just depend. It's words, but it really is so much the energy, right? Or I know you said you wanted this for yourself. Why do you sense that hasn't happened? Yeah. So I'll give a lot of different examples as we get there, but the energy, the archetypal energy is just important as the words.
I love that. Thank you.
Rachel.
Thanks. I think my question has mostly been answered now, but it was around like that initial call with a client, like a sales conversation. What's your approach when they directly say, I want you to hold me accountable, like on that call? Like, what is your approach?
How would you like for me to hold you accountable?
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And then you can see how they answer, and it might be totally doable and make sense. And it's a power with situation. And it's great. Or they may respond to something that's like, you're their babysitter, in which case you want to talk about that, which could actually be great for a sales call, because then they can kind of see some of their patterns that you're going to help them work on too, to become more accountable themselves, right? So, you know, but you can ask like, how would you like for me to hold you accountable? Or what are some of the best ways that you have seen for yourself help hold you accountable? Or what hasn't worked before? You can do that in the sales process. You can do that also in the work itself. And I'll give some more ideas around that too.
All right, cool. Thank you.
These are all great comments and questions. I guess accountability is sexy. Linda.
That's the first thing I was going to say is I think it's time to rebrand accountability as being very sexy because it involves so much creativity and finesse and energy, and yeah, it's multi-layered, and so I think it's very sexy. And by the way, I will say that when you said it's not sexy, the way you said it was not sexy was actually sexy. Anyway, all right, enough about that. So my thing is I have like over 25 years of leading teams and projects, and where they say, this is what we want. And this is what, you know, and again, when you're leading a project, you're accountable for the project. Okay. And so, and there's all these different energies that come up, but whether it be leading a team or coaching a client, I can see at the onsite the essence of what it is and what their essence of the person is. I can see the future project. I can see the future person so vividly. And I really kind of hold that in my mind's eye throughout the whole engagement. And I've been very successful, you know, for the times that I've done it. And with the coaching, sometimes not so successful in terms of them realizing the result. In the business side, almost always. So what's my point? I'm a little bit psychotic in that I can do that for other people, but I cannot do it myself, as we talked about that self-sabotage. So that's one point. But the other point is when you're holding that and you see that so vividly and you say, yeah, I'm committed to you and this is a partnership, how can you not feel accountable yourself for them producing, for the result? Because they've reached out to you. They said, hey, I need help. I can't do it on my own. And they've reached out to you. You see the promise and you see vividly what their thing is. How can you not feel a sense of accountability?
Yeah.
Anyway, I said a lot of different things in here, but.
Yeah, these are all great questions. So first of all, the first piece.
Yes,
it's hard to hold for yourself. You are not alone in that. Mm-hmm. And that's why having practitioners, and we'll get to different ways. It doesn't just have to be practitioners, you know, having groups, you know, that kind of thing. Like people need that. They, you know, there's some things, I mean, because I'm type A, I tend to hold, you know, myth of perfection, all the things, I tend to hold myself accountable. But like there's some things that I need help with from practitioners and in other ways. So no shame in that. That's being human. In terms of this feeling responsible, or I feel accountable for others, what I would say is, and this is an exercise actually for everyone that's resonating with this question, you need to do on your own. Let's get clear on exactly what you're accountable for. Mm. So let's get detailed on that, right? Like, to put it in the context of business coaching, am I accountable for creating a multiple six-figure business for a client? No, but that can get jumbled in, right? Maybe. But what am I accountable for? What are my responsibilities? And where, what are the places where it's you know, the buck? Well, I don't even want to say the buck. So what are the responsibilities, right? And can I check those marks off? So I would say get really detailed, and as well as what are your clients' responsibilities?
Yeah.
It's not, and then it's the sitting with the discomfort of that, Linda, because you are such a, you know, wanting to help others and right, make it like that's, which is beautiful. But then, you know, where does that not serve, and where can you get more detailed so that actually you can serve in even higher levels? Because it's not you pulling people or making it happen for them.
Yeah, I mean, I've done the making it happen for a really long time. And I've been told my whole life that, you know, you're more committed to the project than we are. And so I would hear them feel the vision. And so I would continue to drive it till it got manifested, because that's what I said I was going to do. And I saw that it was possible. So there gets like an integrity in that you see the possibility. And then when others fall short, I would pick up the slack. And that's not a sustainable model.
It's right. It's not a sustainable model. And I would say, without knowing your rates, if you're going to continue to do that, quadruple your rates. Right? Like, that's a different stratosphere, yeah, than what we're talking about here. Like, that's consulting and doing,
yeah,
versus coaching with some consulting.
Yeah. Yeah. That's clear. Good. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Lisa.
So I definitely learned the hard way about the shame coming from trying to keep someone accountable. And I love the languaging around this, because if I had known this a few years ago, it would have saved me a lot of soul searching. That being said, like a lot of coaches, somebody comes to you for one thing and you end up pivoting and realizing it's really not about that. It's about something completely different. So the question I have is, how do we balance that fact that they came to you for this other thing and we've basically kind of left it and gone on this very powerful journey, but that other stuff is still sitting there that they originally came for? And I'm just curious if you have any thoughts around that.
Yeah, such a great question. Speak to it. Like, say it out loud. I want to acknowledge that you came for this.
Mm-hmm.
We've started to take a pivot. We don't want it after the entire pivot months later. We've started to take a pivot. My sense is that this is a great direction. You may or may not want to say this next sentence. My sense is that this is an aligned direction, but I do want us to pause here and acknowledge that and ask you, is this how you'd like to proceed?
Mm-hmm. I love that.
Our time together, right? So then it's like it's acknowledged, and the agreement is reset one way or the other.
Yeah, that's super helpful. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Great question. Okay. So at this point, we were going to do some inner work around the pieces that we've been looking at, but I let us have a lot of shares because they were all awesome. So I will make sure that these questions are either in a resource sheet or that I post them in the Facebook group. But I think they'll be really helpful for you to just do. I know already there's a lot of wheels turning, but it will be helpful to go deeper. But for now, let's move on to specific tools, accountability tools and structures We've already kind of spoken, but we'll get to it. And I'm kind of, you know, I like to put things into categories. So I've got two categories on this: preemptive accountability tools and structures, things that you can do before action has not been taken or people haven't been accountable. And then accountability tools and structures to put in place once you see like, oh, it's been two sessions, one session, action hasn't been taken. What are we gonna do next? So in terms of the preemptive accountability tools and structures, we've actually already looked at so many already so far in Sacred Death. So I'm gonna just do a quick review and just so you can see it in the context of accountability. So for example, when you are visioning a project, an idea, an action, you know, it can even just be a one action or a whole big vision with a client, looking at desires and needs. We looked at this in our visioning session. The more we can support a client to create a vision, whether the vision is huge or just for the meeting that they're going into or like less salt in their cooking or, you know, whatever it is, but the more that we can support a client to create a vision that is aligned with their desires, their needs, their values, that is already a little bit of an accountability structure in place. Why is this important to you? What makes you happiest when you think about accomplishing this? What will be fun about this? What is the need in this? Why is this a priority for you, right? Getting to that deep why, the desire, the need. Sometimes a preemptive accountability structure, and this is gonna sound maybe like negative at the outset, but just stick with me for a moment. Sometimes a preemptive accountability structure is to like avoid pain, not discomfort. Remember, there's a difference between pain and discomfort. Discomfort, good, optimal, good for growth and moving forward. Pain, not so much. That can help support accountability. Why are you done with not taking action on this, right? Whatever the this is. Why are you done with not writing a newsletter? Why are you done with going over by 15 minutes on your client sessions consistently, right? So that's a getting clear, connecting with the pain. What will things be like if you continue to not move forward on this? Julia was talking to that in her share earlier, right? Seeing that whole wheel of self-sabotage. What's going to happen if you continue to go on like this? Another preemptive accountability tool or structure, we've spoken a lot about this, we've also already spoken about this on this call, is celebration, building on strengths versus weaknesses. What are the resources that you already have in place in order to get this done? Why is this a perfect next action for you? What support do you have in order to complete this action? What are the strengths that you have? What have you done before that's similar to this that lets you know you can do this now, right? So, related to that, another thing that we looked at envisioning is supporting the client to believe that they can do it, that it is doable, even if it is a stretch. The more that someone believes that they can take an action, they can accomplish something, that they have the ability to do it, that it's doable for them, the more likely they are to do it. Why is this the perfect goal for you right now? Why do you know that you can do this? What will make this easier for you to do? What help do you need to get this done believing that they can, seeing that it's possible. Strategizing in general, so important for accountability, right? Because the strategizing, what does it do? It creates clarity on the task at hand and the process of executing the task or task. What actions will you take this week? How will you get this done? What are the details that aren't clear yet that we need to talk through? You may want to use blueprinting. You may want to ask a client to actually take their calendar out and schedule in when they're going to take the action. Another preemptive tool is knowing that someone else cares and is invested with you. In other words, knowing that your coach or practitioner really, really cares. And now when I say invested, I don't mean because it's about them, right? But because it's about you, but because you care about your client, right? So almost like clockwork without even thinking about it at this point, towards the end of every call, I will say to a client, will you keep me posted? Will you let me know how that goes? I want to hear from you. Or will you let me know if you get off track? Don't wait until 3 days later or not having done it. I really want to hear from you. You know, and if you get off track, no big deal. Let me know as soon as you can and we'll get you right back on track. Right? But when we know that someone else, not in that way that we were talking about before, they're invested with you because it's about them or they need you to do it or whatever it is, but because they care about you, it can help so much. And then the other preemptive, well, there are a couple of other preemptive pieces. We also spoke about this a little bit, envisioning, but I want to remind you of it. Environment, creating an environment, an optimal environment for the actions to get done. Talking that through beforehand. It can help so much. And when I say environment, I mean the physical environment, the amount of time or space that they have, the type of support they might need, right? All of that foundation setting. What energy level is going to be required for you to take that action? How can you create the environment for that energy level? How much time will you need to take that action? How can you create the time for that? Who in your family needs to be on board with this? What can you do to make that happen? A couple other preemptive pieces. How can I help hold you accountable, right? We already spoke about that one, but it's simple asking the client, right? What do you need from me? The pre-call forms, the accountability forms, sometimes I call them, great accountability structure as well. I have had clients that have told me that because they're filling out the accountability form like a day before our session, that's when they start taking the actions because they got to fill it out. Right? That can help if there's like a lot of resistance. Right? We want to use all the inner tools that we've been learning too, right? But these things help. All right, let me pause here. Questions, anything that you want to add, anything that you want to share?
Julia.
Yes. How would this work in a group setting? Like one-on-one, I can see how that would work out. But what if you have a group of people?
Yeah, it's a great question. So it's a little bit of a different, all the foundations are the same, and it's a little bit of a different animal with groups because there's a different container in a group versus a one-on-one, and different groups have different containers, some that are tighter and some that are looser, right? So like, for example, here in Sacred Depths, there's 50 of you. That's on the looser end of containers, right? We're not in person together. There's, you know, I do as much as I can to kind of keep track of everybody, right? But there's a lot versus a group of 12, that's more of a mastermind situation, is a much tighter container, not as tight as a one-on-one, right? But it's a much tighter container. So that's the first thing that you want to think about is what's the format of the offering and how tight or loose is the container on it. And that's also going to determine like what you teach or what results you speak to as well. But from there, you know, based on it, I'll give a couple of different ideas. So first of all, I have had groups usually 24 and under. You can, anything more than 24, this gets too unwieldy, but I have had groups 24 and under where everybody fills out an accountability form or a focus report before each of our sessions. Having partners, accountability partners in a program that meet every week. And having a protocol, and I can share, I have like a buddy protocol, you know, which is different than our coaching partners, but if you're going to have like an accountability partner, I can share, I have that for groups where, okay, what were you going to do? What did you get done? What didn't you get done? Et cetera. Having get it done times as actual sessions worked into the program. So we're meeting in some of the groups I used to lead, it was once a month get it done time where we would get together for 3 hours. It can be shorter than that. Everybody would come with a project that they were going to get done with in real time, and we're going to make that happen. Having, again, depends on the size of the group, having a component where maybe you meet in smaller groups for accountability. So it depends so much on the purpose of the program and then the scope of the group and the size of the group. But does that give you some ideas?
Yeah, this is perfect. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. All right, I'm going to keep on going and then we'll open up for cues. Oh, wait, there's a question in the chat. Hold on. Yeah, so Sonia's saying, what's the difference between using the practitioner for accountability and caring versus not creating dependency on the practitioner, right? Dependency versus self-sufficiency. Sonia, can you come on for a sec?
Hi.
Hi. So it's such a great point. And so what I want to ask you first is, what do you already know about this?
What do I already know about this? What I know about this is that I want my clients to trust in themselves and their own judgment and their own strength, as opposed to in me being the container for their strength and their accountability. And when you said being the person who cares about them can be so powerful, I love that. I'm all about that. But then I thought, but oh, wait, what if?
Yeah. So I think if I'm hearing you correctly, there's a piece here for the practitioner and for the client, right? So if we grew up in an environment where caring was used as a power over strategy, consciously or not. Like, I care so much about you, therefore we must stay connected. By the way, that I grew up in a household like that. Therefore we must stay connected. You're dependent on me, you know, et cetera, et cetera. Then the care, either for the practitioner or for the client, can come off as dependency versus a cleaner version of that, where caring is simply caring, but seeing the other as whole and complete and able to take ownership, and I can exist without you and you can exist without me and I care for you, right? Like that clean energy of, I would love for you to keep me posted. Let me know if this worked out or not. And if it didn't, we'll get you back on track. Or, right, whatever the words are. Is that helpful to think about in that way?
I think so. So to show care while simultaneously seeing the person as capable and not forgetting that part. Yeah.
That can shift so much.
Yeah.
Right? Because often, but sometimes care is shown like, you're the victim. I care about poor you. And then that creates a whole other thing. Great question. Now, that being said, there are moments where I will purposefully hold a tighter container with my client for a short period of time so that they can, in a kind of intense way, get more done and build their accountability muscle. So what that might look like, and again, we're not going to do this all the time because then it becomes the dependency versus the self-sufficiency piece. But in certain particular moments, I have found like if working with a client and they decide that they're going to take an action, and I either have a sense or we know together that they are, it's so possible for them to take that action, but they need a little bit more care, like a little bit more shepherding, a tighter container, I'll say, okay, when are you gonna do it? And they may say Tuesday. And I'll say, okay, can you email me Tuesday afternoon after you do it, right? So that's one example of a tighter container. So it's not just like, oh, keep me posted, let me know how it goes, but let's create a little. Now I'm not gonna do that every week, right? Because that's not helpful. But sometimes to get over a hump, it can be really helpful. Or maybe it's something that they're gonna do every day for a week. Meditate, for example, or end their work day by 5 p.m. or whatever it is. And so I'll say, I wanna check in. Let's email me every day at 5 when you're done with your work day. Or email me in the morning before you go to work on that presentation. Let me know how you're feeling and what you're writing. So just that a little bit of a tighter container for a short period of time to help get over a hump. So recently I have a client, we've been working together for a long time. We've been working a lot on spaciousness and not being so hyper vigilant in her work and in her business. And she's done a lot of inner work around this and taken many actions where I haven't held that tighter container. But just 2 or 3 weeks ago, we had a session, and what came out of it was she was like, you know what? I'm ready for the next frontier, which is to take email off of and social media off of my phone completely and just not be checking those things at all when it's not work hours. And then she paused, and I know her so well. I knew where she was going. I was like, yeah, but it's really easy to add that app right onto the phone as soon as you feel that like need to be connected. And she was like, yep. And I said, okay, where do you want to try this week? And she said, well, I have a doctor's appointment that I'm going to. I know it's going to take all afternoon, and I want to see if I can go that afternoon, take it off, you know, and I know as soon as I get home, I can check. And I said, great, that's a great first place to test this out. Will you send me an email afterwards, right? And so that's how we worked it. She did it. And then over email, I said, okay, what's next on this? And she happened to be ready for a bigger step. She said, I'm ready to just keep it off completely. And I want to try that out, right? She may have said, that was good. And now I'm going to try for the next appointment or whatever. She said, no, this is what I want to do. I think she also said, and I want to turn the computer off completely at the end of the day, right? And so for about a week, we held that tighter container for her to get some more traction there on something that was going to be tougher for her. I wouldn't, to Sonia's point, I would not do that for more than a week, because then it would be dependency versus self-sufficiency. But to help break pattern. Now, as an aside, this is everything that we're talking about today. This is an example, but really everything we're talking about today makes a really good case for working with clients, not as one-off sessions, but as containers. Breakthroughs can happen in one-off sessions, accountability, not as much. Some things, just a couple of other pieces. If a client hasn't taken the action they said they were going to, sometimes you want to ask, is it still aligned for you? Because it might not be, but also because it might be, and they need that internal yes again. Like, yes, it's aligned. Yes, I do want to do this. If a client hasn't gotten something done that they wanted to, you want to ask, why haven't you, right? Not in a shaming or blaming or there's anything wrong way. Sometimes it can be like a deep fear and obstacle, but other times it might be an easy fix that just needs to be looked at. Do you want to adjust the task? Maybe it needs to be smaller, right? Maybe it needs to be different. We spoke about accountability buddies. So I have a couple of private clients who I've paired up with other private clients. They meet once a week, they get stuff, they're accountable, they get stuff done. Again, you can do this in programs as well. We spoke also about get it done. So in groups, you know, sometimes having get it done days are powerful, but I will say every now and again, I don't do this very often, but every now and again, sometimes in private work, getting the task done together is what the client needs in session time, is what the client needs to get over the hump, right? So for example, I once had a client who said she was gonna start a newsletter, never wrote the article, next session, excited to start the newsletter, never wrote the article. We decided, and I asked if it was okay for her to spend the session time like that together. The next session, I didn't write it for her. She wrote it, but I held the space. I helped her brainstorm. There were moments where we didn't talk for 5 or 7 minutes while she was writing, and I sat there, right? We never had to do that again. For the last 3 years, she's had a regular newsletter. And maybe with another client, we would have needed to do it another time or whatever. But just to get over that hump, to see that she could do it, to feel that satisfaction, oh, I can do this, and then to get moving from there. And then last piece, sometimes if you've done all the inner work, and it's been a couple of sessions and someone hasn't taken, you know, we've done all the things that we've spoken about, sometimes the best thing is to say, let's take a break from that commitment. Like, let's not try to do that. What's something else? All right. Let me see what's happening in the chat. Yeah. Okay. So in a moment, I'll ask about, actually take a moment. So what are you taking away from our time together today? What's most important for you? For you as a practitioner, for you personally, or both? And I'm gonna ask about takeaways and open for Q&A in a moment. But just before, you'll have a resource sheet. If you're either in your client work or working with a partner, take a look, you know, see if you can use a different kind of accountability structure or go deeper into an accountability piece. And then if you wanna do some work for yourself, think about a goal that you have that you are ready to take action on or more action on, and design an accountability plan for yourself. It may be as simple as a blueprint, but you may want to pull in some of the other pieces we're talking about here. What environmental pieces need to be shifted? What other support do you need? Would a buddy be helpful to get things done, et cetera? All right, takeaways and questions before we wrap for today. Linda's saying the most important thing for me is that I long for some serious quality time with the content for the last couple of weeks. So you can blueprint that out, Linda, make that space in the accountability plan for yourself, good. Who else? Any shares, last words, takeaways, or questions before we wrap for today? I'd love to hear one other takeaway. Elijah.
I just am taking away a lot more tools and a different perspective on accountability, whereas I think I was like a one note coach on it before. And I definitely have clients that, I have clients that do everything, and then I have clients that do nothing. And just really excited to use these really sexy tools with my clients. And I'll just say, it feels magical. I have a discovery call today, like in 30 minutes, actually, with somebody I've coached before who has major, major accountability stuff. So it feels really, thank you. It's like, thank you. Perfect. What timing. Great timing. Yeah.
Love the synchronicity. Beautiful. Good. All right, everyone. I'm sending you a lot of love. Love what's coming up in the chat too. Read all of those carefully before we wrap. If you need anything, let me know. We're off next week, but I'll see you in 2 weeks. Lots of love.